Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
It's not company you want to keep, that's for sure, whether you're the struggling Cowboys or the struggling Jets. Much more on the latter here in 30 seconds. But, fellas, let's just acknowledge, obviously, what's going on here in the country as the world, frankly, watches and waits to see the results of the 2020 election. We had an NBA bubble. We had a World Series bubble. This is all 2020. We possibly could have an NFL playoff bubble if it gets to it. We had two bubbles in the NHL, and believe it or not, in such a 2020 moment, is this peak 2020, the two men running for president came out last night and spoke, and Key, neither had a victory speech or a concession speech when speaking as the world continues to wait. Just want to address it because I know it's something many people did yesterday, took their civic responsibility very seriously, took a huge part of their day to do it. Just your thoughts real quick. It's the biggest story in the world, and then we'll get right back to our little world of sports.
Well, everybody's just waiting to find out the results, right? I went to bed early last night. My eyes got heavy. I was tired from a long, hard day, and I watched as much as I could, and I just closed my eyes and said, you know, nothing's going to happen overnight, and we'll see what happens in the next day or two.
I think my outcome and my takeaway thus far is that it was incredible to see how many people voted yesterday. How many people voted? And now we're waiting for the tally.
Yep, 96 million alone on election day. This will be the first election with more than 150 million people voting in a presidential election in our country. This is the 59th presidential election that we have gone through in this country. We'll see if there will be a continuation of the 45th president or a brand new 46th. So as Key said, keep tuned in. I slept 90 minutes last night watching the coverage, so I'm now giving myself any excuse for any mistake I make the rest of the way. The Jets have certainly had a lot of mistakes this season. They are no wins. They're the only team in the NFL without a win. The Steelers are the only team without a loss. The Jets say they have a plan to get back to it. We want to get your thoughts on what the plan should be. Should it involve Sam Darnold, the quarterback, the head coach Adam Gase, and the general manager Douglas, and or you can pick any two. Hit us up, say ESPN, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, or KeyJ&Z on Twitter. Right now, about 58% of you have weighed in and essentially said right now there's no way you can roll with Adam Gase. So we'll see what your thoughts are in just a moment. Again, hit us up, KeyJ&Z, Jets problems. You got three possibilities, and you can mix and match them any way you want. We mentioned one of those possibilities is Joe Douglas. He's the team's general manager here for 1.5 years, and here on the Michael Kay Show at 98.7 ESPN New York yesterday, saying, here I have Sam Darnold, and he is definitely not part of the problem.
I think Sam is the quarterback of the future, so I'm not going to put that on the next eight games. I think our whole everything in the next eight games is going to be on progress. Progress from our young guys, progress from our veteran guys, progress from everybody. You know, we need to do everything better. We need to do simple better. So that's the focus over the next eight games.
Okay, now we should mention Joe Douglas is the team's general manager. As I said, he reports to Christopher Johnson, who is the team's owner, taking over after Woody Johnson was named to an ambassadorship by President Trump to the United Kingdom. Christopher Johnson was well known for saying earlier in the season he thought Adam Gase, the team's head coach, sitting on the hottest seat in the NFL, had a brilliant offensive mind. Most people, including Key and practically every caller I think Kay or us has ever taken, would seem to disagree. But you know who's not laughing about that statement? Joe Douglas.
Look, I said it before. Like my hope is that we can fix this problem together. And it's easy to pick on one person. It's easy to pick on the head coach. It's easy to pick on the quarterback. I mean, I think those are convenient targets. But it's all of us. It's all of us. The goal is to fix this all together.
See, I laugh at that because one of the things he said was, my hope.
I have a lot of hopes in my life.
No. My hope is that we can fix it together, even though I know we're not going to fix it together. Different than saying Sam is the future. It's different. Hope, future, different.
Semantics. All right, so let's go. Go ahead, Jay. Sorry.
His other comment, I think some people will say they are convenient targets. Convenient targets. For Adam Gase, okay, surrendering play calling duties offensively, even though you're a brilliant mind. Running some of the most talented players out of the Jets organization for being the head coach. Losing the respect in the locker room. These are just, that's not a convenient target. That's a pretty obvious target.
I think you raise a great point.
Well, you gotta, I'm the general manager of a team, man. I'm not. He's still my head coach. I can't get up there and just throw him to the wolves.
I understand.
I gotta tread lightly with this. I gotta, you know, I gotta just kind of let it take its course, massage it a little bit, because the end is near.
Well, that's why I thought
the end is near,
Keith. That's why I thought, for that exact reason, I would have that same narrative that you just explained applicable to Sam Darnold. To say that he's the future. What is he going to say? Hey, we're just going to see what – he pretty much did say that. He said two things that were dichotomy of each other at the same time. He said he's the future – hold on, Key. He said he's the future of our organization, but at the same time, we're evaluating based upon progress for the next eight games.
No, not evaluating the next eight games. It's he didn't – he's not evaluating. He's not making a decision based on the eight games on whether Sam is the future. He's already made that decision that he's the future. I understand. Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields are the prince and the king and the queens of the ball. I get it. Everybody wants that. It's the sexy thing on the streets right now. They just drafted a dude 3 years ago with the third pick of the draft.
And that is Sam Darnold.
And Joe Douglas did not draft him. And Joe Douglas did not put any players around him. Therefore, Joe Douglas is trying to do that now with trading Jamal Adams, getting
picks.
Dirty
bird shout
out. Yeah. Getting picks for Jamal, getting picks for other players that they've decided to move on from, allowing them to get from underneath the Le'Veon Bell deal, all those sort of things is clear path to setting up when the offseason comes that they'll have money, they'll have draft capital to rebuild the franchise and the organization when they get rid of Adam Gase as a coach. That's not saying they're going to draft Trevor Lawrence. What that's saying to me is that they're getting things ready to go around Sam Darnold. The same thing that you say about Trevor Lawrence. If they allow him to go somewhere else and he becomes, I don't know, Joe Montana, they'll never be able to live it down. If Sam Darnold leaves and he goes to, I don't know, the Raiders because they're tired of Carr, and then all of a sudden he goes and he becomes Joe Montana. Mm-hmm. When you had him, you didn't know what this unknown college kid is. Yes, he looks good in college, but so did Tim Couch, and so did Ryan Leaf, and so did a whole host of other players look great in college. But I know what he is in the pros. I know that he's playing against NFL competition opposed to, no pun intended, Duke, Georgia Tech. You start to look at those things when you're evaluating. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I would love to see Sam Darnold go to San Fran and play in Kyle Shanahan's
or,
offense.
Or
I
San
think that would be
Fran,
incredible
or
for
Fran.
Him instead of Adam Gase. I think you address the head coach issue first and foremost. But what I am saying is, if you are the Jets and if you find yourself in a situation where you go 0-16 with the pressure, if Trevor Lawrence wins the national championship, let's see how Joe Douglas reacts then.
I'm not picking a quarterback based on winning a championship.
If that was the case, I would have picked some
from Oklahoma 25 years ago when they was winning and them dudes couldn't play quarterback.
I can't do that. I hear what you're saying. I know you're going to hold firm in your stance right now, but when you have multiple experts, if he wins at that degree, and if he plays well against an Alabama or an Ohio State or a Georgia and he blows people away and they're calling him a generational type of quarterback, I know you say people hear that every year, but I have not, from the scouts I've talked to, they're talking about Trevor Lawrence way differently than they're talking about what Sam Darnold was 3 years ago. I'm hearing more Andrew Luck comparisons than anything else. Now, I know you're arguing about what is Andrew Luck won, but I mean, I know you got into a great argument with Greg on our show about that, Andrew Luck's numbers are pretty much off the charts, right? So all I'm saying is that if that's all the case, we'll see how Joe Douglas reacts then.
And I think Joe will handle it the right way, Z. I think he knows that he has a quarterback that doesn't have any players around him. It just, you know, you got to have players around you. You look at the Dallas Cowboys, and for instance, you look at Dak Prescott. What did they go out and do? They went and got Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
It changed everything for him in the passing game.
But
then they made a decision to go out and draft a kid in the first round. I mean, you got to think what I'm saying, Jay Will. If he's throwing to nobody, his best receiver is catching passes for the Carolina Panthers because Joe Douglas and I guess Adam Gase at the time didn't necessarily value Robbie Anderson at the level with the economics and saying, okay, we can spend money on him. They passed on that. The guy is flourishing in Carolina right now. And so all I'm saying is you got to have pieces. You cannot expect for him to be successful with an offensive line, a 40-some-year-old running back. I mean, like, you just can't do it.
I'm just saying, why lock yourself into a plan if we've had a year that's been so unexpected?
Because I see him every single day at practice, and I see him throw the football, and I've watched him, and I see what he does. And if I only been here a year and a half, see, we got to get to Darius here.
We do.
A year and a half. I think if I put people around him, he's going to be successful.
Again, give us a call, 888-SAY-ESPN. We'll get back to it throughout the course of the morning. It is engendering a ton of passion on the Dr. Pepper Twitter line. Again, you can tweet us your answer, Darnold, Gase, Douglas, all of the above, none of the above, at Key J and Z. Let's talk about a team that has risen above after a bit of a tough start. I'll tell you, Darius Leonard is different because the Colts viewed him differently than almost every other team in the NFL, and it has become Indianapolis's huge benefit. And we welcome the defensive stud inside Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin here on ESPN Radio this morning. Darius, good morning. You've started the season 5-2. Like I said, a little bit of a hiccup out of the gate. Tell me what this team is thinking about here as we approach the second half of the season.
First of all, good morning. The only thing we focus on is trying to get better. You can lose games and get better. You can win games and get worse. And, you know, you just got to maintain, you know, focus and continue to get better day in and day out. Just try not to, you know, ride a wave. You got to create our own one.
The past two games, you scored 31 points against the Bengals, 41 against the Lions, including a pick six from cornerback Kenny Moore. What have you seen from the offense over the last couple weeks that make you feel confident with a dominant defense that this is the offense to lead you forward?
they hold the ball a lot. You know, they keeping us off the field. They're running the ball well. They're throwing the ball well. You know, Phillip is, you know, throwing the ball to, you know, everybody on the roster. So, you know, never know who's he throwing to. You know, you got JT in the backfield, and then you got Naheem Hines. You know, an easy mismatch with a linebacker guarding him out of the backfield. So just kind of, you know, putting our guys in the position to make plays.
The Maniac, it's good to talk to you, man. My wife's family is a huge fan of the Colts. I got to ask you first and foremost, why do they call you the Maniac?
Well, I honestly got it in 2017 after I played Clemson. I ended with like 19 tackles, and I came back on campus. Somebody said, you play like a straight maniac. And, you know, it kind of stuck with me, and then it kind of, you know, it's not in my persona. You know, when I step on the field, I'm a wild guy. You know, I love to have fun. I'm talking trash. I'm energetic, you know, trying to have that enthusiasm more than anyone. And then, you know, once I get off the field, you know, just that polite, you know, well-spoken, that genuine love guy. So, you know, just two different people. You know, the Maniac comes out between the lines, and then, you know, Darius comes out when I'm not.
I love it, man. You guys added a future Hall of Fame quarterback in Phillip Rivers to your locker room this past offseason. What has it been like bringing him into the mix?
Oh, it's amazing. Just like you said, a future Hall of Famer, and, you know, him being in the league 17 years for a young guy like me, you know, playing defense, just learning from him and making his defense better, you know, believe it or not, that could be the reason why our defense is playing so well. You know, in camp, you know, we're doing so much. He's telling us, you know, what he's seen as a as a opponent, and kind of made us better. And then, you know, coming in, you know, playing offense, you know, he know the game. You can tell that he know what he's doing. And it's, you know, it's great to have a 17-year vet as your leader in his locker room.
Darius Leonard, Colts inside linebacker, two-time All-Pro, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Yes, that's
almost
me.
Said LC. Hey, let me ask you this, Darius. You obviously getting ready to take on Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP, is coming to town this week. What do you need to do to slow him down? Not necessarily in the passing game, because we kind of know his struggles there, but him pulling it down and running the ball.
Honestly, you know, it's going to take all 11. You know, at first, you know, the first four, you know, we're always talking about keeping the well, keeping the quarterback in the well, and then, you know, nine times out of ten, you know, coach going to definitely, you know, put somebody on him. Hopefully it's me, you know, because, you know, I'm definitely, you know, want to take that challenge, you know, that I want to put it on my back, you know, to stop their best player. That's something that, as a leader on a defense, that's something that you got to take pride in. You got to want to be able to step up to a challenge, and Lamar is definitely the best at, you know, pulling it down and running, making guys miss, and that's something that, you know, I always wanted to do. Just looking at it and seeing how explosive he is and wanting to be the guy, you know, who make that play, seeing people on, you know, ESPN top 10, you know, of him making a play, and you want to be the guy to stop that play. So hopefully, you know, we dial some, you know, great things to keep him in the well.
You know, Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Ravens on Sunday, and Coach Tomlin told the media that, you know, for all intents and purposes, we respect Lamar, but we don't fear Lamar Jackson. What did you make of, not that you would ever say that, but what did you make of those comments?
That's a true statement. I watch very little film because, you know, I feel like sometimes in the film session, you know, if you look at film, you can say, oh, this team is really not that good. You can get overly confident. And then you can see, oh, this guy right here, he's killing everyone. Then, you know, you get that little feeling like now you got to do more and instead of just being you. So me, you know, nameless opponent, you know, but you got to respect your opponent. That's the main thing. You know, you don't got to be scared of anyone, but you got to respect it. I mean, he's a great player, but you got to understand that it's 11 versus 1. That's only one football out there, and that's 11 guys trying to get that one ball. So, yeah, we all just got to work together and, you know, just stop their offense.
Darius, really appreciate you joining us this morning and being a company man by shouting out the SportsCenter Top 10. Really appreciate that. Thanks. Good luck against Lamar and company this weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good luck, man.
He is an absolute stud and an absolute steal. Chris Ballard and the Colts did an unbelievable job picking this dude up. He has paid huge dividends for them. Let's go. What do you got?
I was just going to say real quickly, I don't expect anybody to fear anybody. I mean, we're all professional athletes. We're all grown men. You know, these guys are coaches. You're out here competing. It's another thing to say that you don't fear someone, though. Like, it's another thing to openly say that. It seems like that was a shot at the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, regardless of whether you believe it or not, to say it openly, publicly at a presser like that, that was a shot at Lamar Jackson.
I love it.
And Leonard doubled down. He said, I agree with Mike.
Yeah, I love it. Nobody's scared of that dude. I ain't like, okay, yeah, he's running up and down the football. I got 11 hats that we going to handle our business. That's what Mike Tomlin believes.
He's one of the best 11 hats on defense for the Colts, for sure. Again, Baltimore, Indy on Sunday, big litmus test for the Colts. Let's go from A to Z. And from A to Z is brought to you by Dell. Big news from Dell Technologies. Black Friday is here with deals up to 50% off small business computers with Intel Core processors. To give your business an edge, call 877-ASK-DELL or visit Dell.com/SB Black Friday.
Black Friday, Okay.
They've been saying it for years, fellas.
I didn't say anything.
Hey,
it's a marketing term.
Doesn't make it right.
It's the marketing term.
I didn't say a lot of things for years.
All right. From Black Friday to Saturday, with no distinction on the front, Wisconsin-Purdue scheduled to be played on Saturday, but it won't be because Wisconsin, again, has got more coronavirus issues. You might recall their game the previous Saturday with Big Red Nebraska was ruled a no contest as well. No contest is essentially what the Big Ten is just calling it, fancy term for nobody's going to have to forfeit this game. They got 27 total active cases of COVID-19, 15 student athletes. Barry Alvarez is the athletic director at Wisconsin and the former legendary head coach of the Wisconsin football team, addressing the notion that they might just have six games to have a shot to get to the playoff, but that's really not top of mind at the moment here.
I'm concerned with the health and safety of the guys. I there's no one wants to be on that field any more than I do, but I'm not going to lose track of priorities, which is we don't leave ourselves much wiggle room right now, and we know that, but hopefully we can get this corralled and we can get back and back on the field and playing.
We certainly hope that is the case. State of Wisconsin in flux, athletically, non-athletically, big coronavirus hotspot at the moment. Big hot topic we've been discussing all week, Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. Trevor Lawrence will be on the sideline for their huge game in South Bend Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern. He will have cleared his 10-day isolation, but earlier in the week, Dabo Swinney said he will not play against Notre Dame. But Dabo Swinney saying Trevor Lawrence might not be a coach just yet. He's ready to have a good, long professional career, but he'll be serving that purpose on Saturday.
He's an incredibly knowledgeable guy, and, you know, he's been there. So I just think, you know, he'll be able to bring a good, you know, presence, you know, to DJ, and he's got a great mind. He's got great eyes. So he's going to be Coach Lawrence.
Love that. DJ is DJ Uyangalale, who is his backup and performed. Uyangalale. Who
Say
performed.
It again, Key.
Uyangalale.
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 Who performed very well Saturday after a rough first half against Boston College to keep Clemson undefeated in the thick of the playoff race. But this is different. I know there's not going to be a ton of fans there, Key, but Saturday night, Notre Dame, number four team in the country on the road for the young kid. How do you see it?
Whoa, it's going to be a tough one for him. But, you know, if anybody can do it, I believe he can. When I look at the quarterbacks at Clemson and the system that they've run, they've all been tremendous no matter who you put underneath that center, because they have a philosophy, a system, and a style in which they believe in, and they go out there and get it done. It's going to be a tough one, though. Ian Book, Notre Dame's quarterback, let's not forget about him.
Yeah,
I mean, he's pretty good, too. We're not talking about him much, but he's a pretty good one.
And by the way, Jay, Brian Kelly is going to join us this morning at 9:10 a.m. Eastern. That is the Notre Dame head coach. We will dig in on this huge matchup with Brian Kelly, coach of the Irish, coming up here at 9:10 Eastern. What do you think about this whole COVID, Lawrence on the sideline, putting the coaching cap on?
I think Notre Dame gets the win. I think people overlook Ian Books. He doesn't throw for 400 yards like most quarterbacks do that are obviously being talked about a lot. But I think the system, I think the style in which they play, and I think that's a lot of seeing the way DJ grew in that game against Boston College, that's one thing. Notre Dame is different.
No doubt. And Ian Book is a fantastic player.
We got Brian Kelly coming on, so I'm going to be nice.
And by the way, I just want to mention here, a quick addendum here. Let me throw an audible at you, Key. Brian Kelly coming up at 9 a.m. Eastern time, so just about 38 minutes away. 10 minutes off. I'm 5 minutes too late. Can't play for Coach Coughlin. All right, so Brian Kelly will be here at 9 a.m. Eastern time to talk about Ian Book, what he's going to expect. This is one of the ACC's biggest games in about, I'd say, at least a half decade or so. Remember, Notre Dame this year eligible, even though they play about five ACC, maybe six games per campaign, they are eligible this year to play in the ACC championship game to get to the playoffs. So this is a huge moment for the Irish. On the way, a rookie quarterback who is playing lights out, and no one's talking about him. But we will next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Fellows, we do a lot of fun games each and every week, and I always have to explain each one, but this is probably the easiest one I have to explain. I'll just start a sentence, and you guys will finish it. So you guys do all the heavy lifting here. Here we go, right out of the gate, about halfway through the season. Some good choices here. Key, the NFL MVP is fill in the blank.
Russell Wilson right now. I still give it to Russell, although Patrick Mahomes had a great game last week, but it's Russell.
I would say Patrick Mahomes, just sort of fact. I think he's thrown for like, 20-plus TDs and one interception? Even though Russ is doing it, I'll go with Pat.
Indeed.
Patrick, as his mom would have me call him.
Yes. Mother knows best. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including Notre Dame's head coach, Brian Kelly, getting set for one of the biggest games of his career. I know he was in the BCS title game. He was also in the playoff, but this is a huge regular season game for Kelly and company with Clemson coming to town. He'll be with us at 9 a.m. Eastern. This is good. You've been most impressed by, Key, fill in the blank in the NFL. I mean, you can go to a bunch of different directions on considering what impresses you.
Well, DK Metcalf, receiver out of Seattle, he was second-round pick. I think he might have been the 9th or 10th pick in terms of the receiver position in the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. Big, fast, strong, a guy with some amazing ability. I'd like to see him be a little more aggressive on contesting the 50-50 ball, but otherwise, pretty good. I mean, he could have been hell. He could have been a Jet, Evan. Maybe, I mean, you know, maybe they could have drafted him. Maybe the Giants could have drafted him. Mm. Heck, maybe Green Bay, to satisfy everybody's taste buds, should have drafted him.
They do need a wide receiver.
I just remember on draft night, Mina Kimes just celebrating when she found out that Seattle was drafting DK Metcalf. So kudos to her. I would go with Aaron Rodgers. Just, I think, at 36 years old, considering what happened last year, a lot of people were discounting him. I think he just makes everybody look so amazing every weekend.
No doubt. You can see Mina Kimes on NFL Live with Key. She's one of our ESPN NFL analysts. All right, here we go. A couple good choices here. The NFL's best division is fill in the blank.
There's one choice.
Can I go with two?
No, one. AFC North, just say it.
I'm going to take the NFC West.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, I'm going to take the NFC West. I'm going to stick with the NFC West. I'm going to look at Seattle. I'm going to look at the Rams and an Arizona team that's very adorable and cute at what they're doing out there in Arizona right now. San Francisco, herky-jerky, but they figure out how to wait, you know, to stay afloat.
All four could make the playoffs. That's hard to say in the AFC North, obviously, because of the Bengals, right?
Yeah, Bengals. I would just
that's
say
why that. I said no. Like, our seller team is the Arizona Cardinals, was our seller team coming into the year, and look where they're at now.
You're taking the 49ers to make the playoffs?
I think it's possible they could make it. There's seven spots this year. They get healthy. Why not?
Yeah. It could be eight spots. Well,
I mean,
it could be eight
spots. George Kittle, those guys out how many weeks? A lot.
Six and eight.
They should have the Bengals record right now with their injuries, and they're light years ahead of the Bengals right now. They have four wins. They should have no or one wins with that attrition, and they don't. The guy can coach.
Yeah, right. Kyle
the guy can just flat out coach.
I may have not coached well in the Super Bowl against the Jets, but that's okay.
You're only up 25, Key. What do you want here?
I just wouldn't bet money for the 49ers to make the playoffs this year. I would say the AFC North just because the Steelers, the Ravens. I know the Browns are going through their stuff. They're 5-3, and the Bengals have lost four out of their five games, one touchdown or less.
Who are you taking, Z? The Bengals or the 49ers straight up?
Right now.
Right now, I'd have to take the 49ers.
Me too.
Right now, without Jimmy G, without
me too.
Kittle.
Me too.
Okay. All right. I would disagree with you guys on that. Yeah.
That's why we're here.
What else would be new?
That's what makes good radio,
I don't
right?
I have to agree with everything you say, Keyshawn.
I didn't say you did, Jason.
Don't be sensitive.
All right. And that's going to do it for fill in the blank. Now I want to kind of get to something that's interesting because Key caught some passes from some really interesting guys over the years. Not a lot of young guns, older, more veteran guys for Key in his career, like Vinny Testaverde and Brad Johnson, if you're old enough to remember those names. I want to talk about a couple quarterbacks, including one that Jay obviously brought up and is very high on. Let's get into the quarterback comps. Essentially, I'm going to give you a young guy in the league. In fact, I'm going to give you three rookies, and then you tell me who this guy extrapolates to or who he could end up being, who he reminds you of. And let's start with the guy Jay mentioned, with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, playing lights out for sure. Wins may not be there, but he's playing great football. Key, his comp for another quarterback you've seen would be who?
I would comp him with Tony Romo. Is his ability to get rid of the football fast. That was something Tony did that was amazing. Tony was very accurate. I think Joe Burrow's very accurate. Tony did not turn the ball over at an alarming rate. I think you're looking at a young Joe Burrow that's headed in that direction, in that mold. Tony could run when he needed to get out, you know, scramble until you start getting hit and beat up a little bit. Joe Burrow certainly can do that. And I think Joe Burrow wants to be great, and Tony wanted to be great. Tony really worked at being the guy that he wind up being for the Dallas Cowboys in the end.
Okay, so Burrow was drafted first. Jay, you want to get in? Obviously, who do you think?
I was just going to give you a couple of different stats.
Yeah, go ahead.
So you can put into perspective about how talented Joe Burrow is. And I know the record isn't reflective, considering the Bengals have some other issues, but most completions in a game by a rookie, 37. Joe Burrow, week two versus Cleveland.
Right.
Passing yards in the season, 4,374. That's the record by Andrew Luck. Burrow sits right now at 2,023 through eight games. Slightly behind pace, but close to pace. Most 300-plus yard games, Andrew Luck, 6. Burrow already has 5. Most TD passes, 27, Baker Mayfield. Burrow has 11. He needs to have a huge second half, but he's close. And the last one, Burrow was also the first rookie QB to record a game of 400 yards passing and three TDs and one rushing TD.
All of those are stats are absolutely terrific. The first one I would quibble with just because when you're down a ton, everybody's always throwing the ball, so your completions could go up. But everything else Jay said, it's hard to argue. Those are some
And that was brought to you by Jay Wills.
Just saying, put it into context about how special this kid is.
There's nobody doubting that. He's already lost more this year than he pretty much lost in his college career combined, which is kind of crazy. All right, so Burrow was taken first overall, and then Tua was taken fifth overall, and you're thinking a quarterback comp here could be another lefty that played in the state of Florida in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, and it's not watching Tua against the Rams, obviously, although a couple times he threw some great passes. He zipped it in there. But I liked him when he was at Alabama. Maybe it's because he is a lefty, reminded me of a lot of Mark Brunell, because he could still run. Mark could run. Tua was able to run and get out of harm's way at Alabama when he was there playing. And he's very accurate again. Mark Brunell was a very accurate quarterback again, one of those guys that didn't turn the ball over at an alarming rate and had a very long, productive career.
Let's go to the last one. Drafted right after Tua was Justin Herbert. Kiwi, got to be quick on this one. Big, strapping, impressive. The guy was an introvert, but when he's out on the field, I don't see anything bashful. This guy's baller.
No, it's another guy, and it comes from the Pacific Northwest, much like Drew Bledsoe. Big, 6'6", strong arm, just dropping dimes on people. You think about Bledsoe when he was at Washington State coming out of college, or you think about him early in his New England Patriot days and even some great moments in Buffalo where he was just a big, strong quarterback that delivered the football. And every now and then, for a big, tall guy like that, he would scamper away from guys much like Herbert.
Speaking of the Pac-12, Justin was a huge star at Oregon. The Pac-12 starts on Saturday.
Real football.
So can Key's favorite team, USC, the key to get to the playoff for Key's squad? Their key player joins us next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's a pleasure to welcome in USC quarterback Keaton Slovis on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We got a big SC guy in Key, of course, ready to talk to you here in a second. But first, you're getting ready for the season. You've seen every other Power 5 league play for weeks on end here. What's it been like for you to just sit there, watch, and wait, and watch everybody else play?
It hasn't been easy. You know, that's kind of the reason why we wanted to get started and wanted to kind of push the envelope and try to play is, you know, we're sitting on the couch on Saturday watching other teams play. That's going to go right. So really good to be back, and hopefully you won't have to watch too many more games anymore.
Keaton, what's up, man? How you doing? What has it been like preparing for such a short season, knowing that you guys only have a handful of games to get ready to try to make it to the Final Four?
It means a whole lot. You know, we only have really 7 opportunities, and we talk about it all the time. You know, we get 7 chances to really showcase what kind of team we have, and hopefully that we're one of the better teams in the country. So, again, we have 7 opportunities to go prove that we have a chance to earn the spot in the playoff. But, again, with only 7 opportunities compared to other teams with 10 or 12, you really have to display it game in and game out. You can't have any lapses, any games down the way.
What would it take for you guys to actually make the college football playoffs? What would you guys need to do in order for that to happen?
Again, that's kind of beyond me in terms of the decisions that are going to be made. But really, we just have to win every game that we're given. And personally, I think we have to win it, you know, pretty handedly and kind of showcase the talent we have on this team and what we can do on the national stage. But again, you know, the committee is going to be the one that decides at the end of the day. And really, we just have to control what we can control and doing everything we can in those seven games.
You getting ready to take on the Arizona State Sun Devils, which is huge with Herm Edwards and obviously defensive coordinator Marvin Lewis, who has a history of running pro-style defenses coming from the NFL for such a long time as a head coach with the Cincinnati Bengals and defensive coordinator with the Baltimore Ravens. How do you prepare for that?
We're looking at a lot of different things. You know, obviously, Coach Lewis hasn't called defense in like over 10 or 15 years at this point. So, obviously, he's a great football mind and probably going to see a lot of NFL stuff. But we're prepared for anything. And I think that's kind of the beauty of our offense is it doesn't really matter what defense we see. You know, we call ourselves an execution-based offense because, you know, regardless of what defense we see, our plays work against anyone. And, you know, regardless of what defense we can see, we can have success.
I feel like at this time of the year, you guys typically are in the flow of your season. You've learned so much about your team. How challenging is it that everybody else has a head start and you guys are now forced to start so abruptly and so fast?
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things, again, that kind of the season's different than any other. And just the weather changing, you know, it doesn't feel like we should be in fall camp in late October either. So luckily, we're playing only Pac-12 schools, so they're kind of in the same boat as us. So hopefully by the end of the season, we'll kind of know where we're at in comparison to those other teams.
We're talking to USC starting quarterback Keaton Slovis on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line this morning. A lot of our listeners may not be aware that in high school, you were under the tutelage of the legendary Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, Kurt Warner was the offense coordinator and quarterbacks coach in my high school. His kids went to the school and played on the team as well. So really just got to learn from him for 4 years when I was there. Obviously, you know, one of the brightest minds in NFL history. So to have the ability to learn from him in high school and, you know, play for him and run the, you know, really a pro system in high school and really, you know, make more decisions and put a lot more pressure on me than normal quarterbacks, high school quarterbacks would have really helped me develop, I think, as a quarterback. And I'm really grateful for it.
We should mention right out of the gate, big test for you. Two Pac-12 South favorites. You, of course, and as Key mentioned, Arizona State will get an early read on how both of you look Saturday when the Pac-12 season kicks off better late than never. And best of luck the rest of the way. Thanks, Keaton.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Fight on.
Fight on.
Yeah, that's right. Fight on.
Key had to get that one in. Any USC Trojan would do that to another USC Trojan. All right, size it up, man. I mean, listen, this is the last league to get going, and you guys are in the marquee spot in the weekend against Herm Edwards and the Arizona State Sun Devils. How do you see it?
Herm's coming out fighting. I can promise you that. Herm, Marvin Lewis, Antonio Pierce. Marvin Lewis takes over the defense for Arizona State, which is going to be fun to watch. I mean, remember when he was defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens and the problems that they would cause for teams around the National Football League and going on to win a Super Bowl. But when you look at Arizona State, they've got some pretty good talent on that side of the ball. Young quarterback, and I'm actually – Let me see this kid's I'm going to try to bring this kid up really quick here.
This kid, Jaden, right?
Jaden.
Yeah, he's
a quarterback,
really good player.
He was a freshman last year.
Great player.
He's going to be one of those guys that next year when the draft starts to come out, people are going to say, oh, is it him or is it the other guy? I mean, that's where they're at. I like what they're doing in terms of recruiting in the Southern California area. They've come into Southern California and cast a net. Now, obviously, Arizona's not far from California, so it's a fertile ground for them and their recruiting. On the other side, for USC, we lost a couple players that have opted out to the National Football League, which will be interesting to see some of their replacements. But St. Brown, the receiver that's there, Tyler Vons, obviously, Kadon Slovis, the quarterback, when you look at him, he took over for JT Daniels a year ago and hasn't looked back. And so it's one of those deals where, you know, after last year, we looked at Coach Helton and we kind of said, well, what, there's Urban Meyer there. Why don't we hire Urban Meyer? But the new AD decided that he was going to stick with Coach, and we'll see what happens. I mean, he comes into this season, pandemic or not, on the hot seat.
No question. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly. Of course, Notre Dame always has that annual great game against Keys USC Trojans. He'll join us at 9 a.m. Eastern on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. There's one other game that is going a little bit under the radar, but Key, I know from talking to you off the air that you're very interested in, and that is the debut. I thought this was one of the more shocking retirements in recent times. That is the debut of Jimmy Lake at Washington. The only reason I bring this up, Washington has made the college football playoff. Chris Peterson, highly successful coach, stepping away. A lot of people were stunned by it. Jimmy Lake in Washington will open at Cal. Why should we care about Jimmy Lake? What do we need to know here?
Well, first of all, he's one of a handful of African-American coaches.
Mm-hmm. Young guy.
That's in college football. Young guy who was the defensive coordinator. He's done a terrific job in the past as a recruiter. Recruiting the base for Washington. I think taking over, moving from the D.C. to the head coach at Washington, that energy level is going to be high in there. Coach Peterson was a great coach for many years, whether it was Boise State or Washington, but I think they get a little bit of a different jolt here with this guy. He could be one of those Dabo Sweeney types. The only difference is he actually called plays while Dabo Sweeney was only the receiver coach and has turned into the highest paid college football coach that we know.
That's fair enough. But big shoes to fill. Washington, if you're too young, has a great tradition. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. On the way, Notre Dame's biggest game in years. You're playing Clemson. You got to practice every single day. So why were the Irish not on the field yesterday during game week with the Tigers coming to town? The answer with Brian Kelly is on the way.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.